Okay, Zot the Gemara, Daf Mem, Gimel, Omet, Base. We're about halfway down the Omet, exactly. Tana Rabbanon. So until now, we were dealing mainly with the Bracha of Reach, and the Gemara is going to deal with it in further detail now, in part. Tana Rabbanon, it's about halfway down the Omet. Heviu Lefonov, Shemen, Vahadas. They brought in front of him oil. Obviously, we're talking about oil which has a pleasant taste, and we already discussed early on in the Omud
smell
that a pleasant smell, and we already discussed early on in the Omud that oil which has a pleasant smell, there's a bracha to be made over that as well. That we saw this mishcha kvisha. Right at the bottom, and the question was whether it was buried out. But some mean more exactly which bracha it was, but that's for sure that there is a bracha that's got to be made over shemen with a pleasant fragrance. So here he has a shemen and also a hadas. Now, the question is, before we even discuss the seder of the brachas, which is going to be the machalikas over here, we first need to see what exactly is the role of this shemen and hadas. And there seems to be machalikas, Rashi and Tosis over here. Look at Rashi. Shemen vahadas. Says Rashi, Besoif Hasu'uda. We're talking about you brought the shemen and the hadas at the end of the meal. Shemen, says Rashi, Losuch Yodov. The shemen was brought, why? In order to clean his hands, to wipe his hands. Why would you want to wipe your hands? Says Rashi, Lahavir, to remove Zuhamas. What zuamachs oichlim? The dirt of the food. So at the end of the meal, your hands get a bit dirty. Mamela, you'd want to bring the shemen. For what reason? In order to clean your hands. That's the function of the shemen. Vahadas lahariach. And hadas, however, is there to have a pleasant fragrance. K'moshamarnu, as already explained. Fine. So that's what we're dealing with. If you look at the top Tosfos, Tosfos says that can't be. Shemen vahadas, says Tosfos, hai shemen lahariachu. This shemen is there to give fragrance. De'i l'ha'avir hazuamo. Because if it's there merely to remove dirt, which is exactly what Rashi said it is there for, so Tosfos, it can't be. Ha'omrino, we say b'parakei ludvarim, de'ei mevarchin olav. There is absolutely no bracha. So the Rishonim discuss this now. How can it be? Rashi seems to be l'chayra neged a gemara. So they discuss already, if you look there in the sugya, in Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, it's not so much our sugya, there are exceptions to this rule. Sometimes if it's a particular type of shemen, like we discussed on the previous Omud, shemen of Mefarasamoin. Shemen Mefarasamoin, and we say there's a special brach of Boire Shemen Orev, then Rashi maintains that even if it's there for cleaning your hands, but at the end of the day it has a very pleasant smell, Mamela, it does still require a brocha. Tosfos seems to disagree. So our koponim, that is the machloikus in our Gemara. Now, either way, that's clear. Everybody agrees, and that's clear in the Gemara, that how is this shemen used? Is it just put in a cup and you have a whiff from it? So look in the Gemara, we see that's not the case. Look in the Gemara, Tana Rabbanon, Efiu Levonov, Shemen Vahadas. Beishamai Oimri, Mevorich Al HaShemen. Beishamai says, you first make a bracha on the Shemen, Va'achakach, Mevorich Al Hadas, and only then to make a bracha over the Hadas. For the moment, he hasn't explained why that should be. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, the exact opposite. Mavorech al hahadas, v'acharkach mavorech al hashemen. So there's two brachas to be made. The question is which one comes first, which one comes second. Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, the first bracha is over the shemen. According to Beis Hillel, it's over the Hadas. By the way,
what are the brachas?
1 second, in case you want to remember this, 3 o'clock in the morning tonight, when you're rolling in bed, Nachum, doing Chazara of the Omud, obviously, off the heart. Very easy way to remember this. How do you remember? Shammai begins with Shin, so that's Shemen. And Hillel begins with Hey, so that's Hadas. Okay, so Nachum, put your phone by a pillow. You should get a call tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning. Shemen Hadas, off the bat. What's the bracha? I said, okay, depends. If it's Shemen Afar Samoin, and the Gemara says, Boire Shemen Orev. If it's other Shemen, then it could be Boire Atzi Basamim. It depends exactly what type it's, or what type of bracha it is.
Now, can the Tati rule be person to a specific person? It has to be like rule.
No, Tadir is only with mitzvahs. Only with mitzvahs. That means, imagine you have two foods, one frequently and one very rarely. Now I happen to have both of them in front of me. The rule of Tadir doesn't apply. Tadir is only with regard to mitzvahs. Should I do Kriya Satoira of Shabbos or Kriya Satoira of Rosh Chodesh? Which one first? That's Tadir v'sheinu Tadir. Should I be Makriv one carbon and Makriv a different carbon? Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, etc., etc. It's only with regard to mitzvahs. Should you have Marifa? Should you light your Hanukkah candles? Those are all questions of mitzvahs. That's where Tadir plays a role. So for the moment, I have two brachas to make. No discussion about that. The question is, which one comes first? According to Shammai, Beis Shammai, it is the Shemen. According to Beis Hillel, it is the Hadas. Says the Gemara. So far, we haven't explained. Omer Rabban Gamliel, Ani Achria. Says Rashi, what does that mean, Ani Achria? Letzad Beis Shammai. I will be Machria. I will decide the issue over here. I'm favoring Beis Shammai's opinion. Why is that? Shemen zochino lereichoi vezochino lesichosoi. In the case of Shemen, there's a double benefit. Zochino, we are benefiting not only from the reach, its fragrance, but also misichasai, from the fact that it's also being anointed. You're using to anoint your hands, to rub your hands with it. So there's a double whammy benefit over here. Whereas the hadas is different. Hadas, lereichoi zochinu. It's true that I'm being zeicha to its reach. However, lesichasai loy zochinu. But you're definitely not using the hadas to anoint yourself with. You don't smear your hands with the hadas, but you do with the shemen. So therefore, says Rabban Gamliel, as far as I'm concerned, Beis Shammai's opinion sounds to me to be correct. You should surely make a bracha on the shemen first, because that has a double benefit. Both anointing and fragrance. Whereas the hadas only has one benefit. Now, let's see if that's indeed the halacha. Omer Rabbi Yechanan maintains that it is. Halacha kedivrei hamachria. Says Rabbi Yechanan that yes, the halacha is indeed in accordance with Rabban Gamliel. What does that mean?
It holds like Beis Shammai.
Right, which is a very rare thing. Because normally we pass in like Beis Hillel. And we'll see. I'll tell you a little secret. We do pass in like Beis Hillel. But let's see. Rabbi Yochanan tells us for the moment, Halacha kedivrei hamachria. The halacha indeed follows the opinion of the machria. Who is that? The decider. Who is the decider? Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel told us, Halacha kedivrei Shammai. Says Rabbi Yochanan, yes, indeed, that is the halacha. Now, Rav Papa, Ikle lebei Rav Huna. Rav Papa happened to visit the home of Rav Huna, Breder of Ikka. Aisu lakamayu shemen vahadas. And they brought in front of them shemen and hadas. There it is, the exact case that we are talking with. Shokal Rav Papa. Rav Papa took, which one? Borich ahadas bereisha. He first made a bracha on the hadas. Vahoda borich hashemen. and only afterwards made a bracha on the oil. So it seems quite clearly that he paskened Rabbi Silal. Omale, so Rav Huna, who was the host, said to his guest Rav Papa, Loi sovar lomar halacha kedivrei hamachria? Question mark. Don't you hold that the halacha is like the machria, i.e., like Rabban Gamliel, and you should go with Beis Shammai, in which case you should have made a bracha first on the Shemen and not on the Hadas? And I see you did the exact opposite. Amale, so Rav Papa answered back to his host, Rav Huna, Breder of Eka, Hochi Omarova, Halocha Kebeis Hillel. So there it is. Sounds like that's the end of the sugya. So Rabbi Yochanan told us that what? The Halocha is like the Machria, i.e. we go with Shammai. Rav Papa said, what do you want me to do? Rava said, the Halocha is like Beis Hillel, that's what I went with. Says the Gemara, very strange thing. Very, very strange thing. Says the Gemara, Veloihi, it's not true. It's not true. Rava never said halacha like Beis Hillel. What do you mean? Rav Papa said that he did say it. The Gemara says he didn't say it. Well, if he didn't say it, why did Rav Papa say that he did say it? Says the Gemara, Le'ishtamute nafshe hu da'ovad. He just did it to, ishtamute literally means to remove himself. He had to remove himself from a bit of an embarrassing situation. Who had to remove himself? Rav Papa. In other words, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "V'loihi." Did we miss our Rashi? "Zochinu l'reichoi ulasichoi." So you could go in Mishcha Kevisha, like in the case of Mishcha Kevisha, which we mentioned in Amud Aleph Hilkoch. That's why Shemen Odif. That's why Shemen would be superior because it has a double benefit. But Rav Papa made a bracha over the Hadas, and he claimed that that's because Rava told us that Alocha Kebeisilol V'loihi. Loi Omar Rava Halach Ilchasa Kebeis Hillel. Rava never, ever, ever said anything of the sort. Well, if he didn't say it, why did Rav Papa claim that he did? Ela Rav Papa Ichsif. What does Ichsif mean?
Mistake.
He got embarrassed. Ichsif means he was embarrassed. Why was he embarrassed? Lefi Sheto'o. Because he made a mistake. Vehishmit atzmoi. That's like the Lashon of the Gemara, Ishtamuti. And he removed himself. In other words, he managed to squirm out of a difficult situation. Bekach, by claiming that. That I did the right thing because Rava said that Allah is like Beis Hillel. Does that sound plausible? It seems doubly almost implausible. Is there such a word? Implausible, non-plausible, unplausible, explausible.
Not possible.
Impossible. It sounds very strange that he would make a mistake in the first place. Seder, mistakes can happen, but stranger still, to defend your mistake and just make up a psak. I said, well, it's not my fault, Rava said halacha kebeis hillel. Did he? No, not really. Does that make sense? So if you look in the Gemara, look by the Aleph. Look at the Aleph. It can't be. Chas v'sholom. So look at the Aleph. Can you see Aleph in the Gemara? Next to the word Le'ishtamute, you have an Aleph? That goes to the Bi'ah HaGro. If you look in the Bi'ah HaGro, it says Gemara, and then he has the next few words all in parenthesis. V'loi hi l'ishtamute nafshi hu d'ovid. Nimchag. It's all erased, and he says, "V'harif lamad gimel loy goras." The rif didn't have this girus at all. In other words, it's so impossible to suggest that indeed the text must be wrong, and we don't know where this came from, and it's a mistake. But Rashi clearly did have this text. Because Rashi went out of his way to explain that he was embarrassed and to cover up his mistake. How can that be? So if you look at the side of the Gemara, there's a little note. Next to the word l'ishtamute, besides for an aleph, there should be also a little note, a star. I don't know if you have it in your Gemara. Yeah, you got it next to the Veloihi.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got it in your Gemara as well, and it begins with the words Zelashoin Ramami Panu.
Mm-hmm.
You have it in your Gemara? Just tell me you do. It must be because you've got an aleph here. So one's going on the Bach. No.
One's on the outside.
You know, it's giving a shas or something else. Yeah, you got it here. Dalet. Why is it Dalet? You got Dalet here? Oh, here, yes.
Oh,
got a Dalet here. Have a look at the Dalet up there. Zeloshoin Ramami Panu. The Ramami Panu was one of the great. Early Achrenim, one of the big Makubalim. And he says, Zeloshen Ramami Panu Seif Semen Hei. The Ramami Panu says that what? Rav Popa Misvora Denafshei. What does that mean, Misvora Denafshei? It was his own logic. Polig, he argued Al Rabbi Yechanan. Again, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan was one who told us the halacha, like the Machri and others, Beis Shammai. Now, Rav Papa, l'chayra, has every right, he's perfectly entitled to argue with Rabbi Yochanan. Can't argue with Tanoim, but if it's a question, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, who do we paskin like? So there could be a machlokes who we paskin like, nothing wrong with that. So now, Rabbi Yochanan told us, halacha kedivrei ha-machriya, halacha like Beis Shammai. Rav Papa is perfectly entitled to say, that's your opinion, I actually disagree and I hold halachas like Beis Hillel, and that's why I made a bracha over the Hadas. And in fact, that's what he did. Rav Papa misvara denafshei, his own logic, based on his own logic, that's why polig al Rabbi Yochanan, he argued with Rabbi Yochanan. Hello. V'loi machmas kisufa. It's not really as a result of his embarrassment. That's why he just wanted to remove himself and fabricate some statement in the name of Rava. That can't be. Elo, b'midas chasidus. To the contrary, it was through a midah of righteousness, v'tola hagdula b'rabboi. What does it mean, V'tola Hagdula B'Rabboi? He attributed this Gdula, this greatness, to his Rav. Meaning, it takes big shoulders to come along and to argue with Rabbi Yochanan. It takes big shoulders. It's his prerogative to do that. And he was willing to do that. Through his righteousness, rather than standing up and saying that what? I'm great enough myself to argue with Rabbi Yochanan. Rather, what did he do? He apportioned the greatness to his Rebbe. Rava said it. My Rebbe said it. Really, he was great enough in his own right to say it. He's allowed to argue with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Alacha kebe shamai. I disagree. Because he was a chassid, he didn't want to stand up and say, I disagree. Rather, he apportioned the greatness to his Rebbe. Who is his Rebbe? Rava. Says the Ramami Panu, Ve'ilav dekimle dehochi hilchasa. If not for the fact that he was so sure that this indeed was the correct halacha, then believe you me, loy ovid uvda benafshei. Then he wouldn't have done it. In other words, he was such a chassid, Rav Papa, that he felt like this. He said, listen, I personally disagree with Rabbi Yechonon. I disagree with Rabbi Yechonon. But I've got to be 100% sure that I'm correct. What do you mean? If you disagree with Rabbi Yechonon, then you clearly maintain you're 100% correct. No. I want to make sure that this is what my Rebbeim said as well. If I'm not 100% sure that I'm correct, even though I do feel that Rabbi Yechonon's wrong, and I'm right, but I need to know that's what my Rebbe said as well. Says Rav Papa, you know something? My Rebbe did say it. Says the Ramami Panu, V'ahochi kaimelon, and this is the way we hold b'chol duchta, in every place, Maisa Rav. What does it mean, a Maisa Rav? What does it mean? We see many places the Gemara brings the concept of a Maisa Rav. What does it mean, a Maisa Rav? A Maisa Rav means a Maisa of the Rebbe. It was a famous story. Somebody once came to the Chassam Sofer and asked him a question regarding to Hilchas Shabbos, with regard to combing one's payas, is it Mutter or Shabbos, whatever, some shayla with regard to that. So the Chassam Sofer said to him, yes, it's perfectly Mutter. This person said, really, why? He said, I don't know. If you don't know, if he says Mutter, I saw my Rebbe do it. As he said, I saw my Rebbe did it. My Rebbe was Reb Nosson Adler, who was a great Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. My Rebbe did it, it's Mutter. Why? I'm not sure. I have to work out exactly why. I'll look into it, I'll work it out. It's called a Maisa Rav. The Rebbe did it, says Poseidon. Now, we should obviously add in parentheses, one has to be very careful. One cannot quote Stam right, left and center of Maisa Rav, because we don't necessarily know all the circumstances, number one. Number two, even if we do know the circumstances, but maybe the Rav for some reason felt there was a special reason to be made, you have to be very, very careful. But the Gemara definitely on many, many, many occasions brings a Maisa Rav. In fact, even without actually saying the words Maisa Rav, in every Omud that we learn, the Gemara always brings a story, like this one. Rav Huna came. Sorry, Rav Papa came to the house of Rav Papa. Why are you telling me this whole story? It's not story time. Torah says, we're here to learn from the behavior of Gedolei Yisrael. That is a Maisa Rav. Otherwise, why is the Gemara telling me this story? Why can't the Gemara just say, Hillel says this, Shammai says this, right, we go home.
Is the Rav saying when we use the expression Maisa Rav, we're not necessarily speaking about Rav, it could be any
Rebbe.
Talmud Rebbe 100%. Relationship that yep. He heard from his Rebbe.
Okay. Like this. This is not Rav, this is a Rav.
Oh, right.
Maisa Rav, a Maisa of. Really, Maisa Rav means a Maisa of a great one. Uh-huh. Nothing to do with the Amora Rav. And the Gemara brings it in many, many cases. And this Gemara, I think, that we're learning is itself a classic case in point. You told me Machloikas, Shammai and Hillel, and then Rabbi Yechon says, and this is the halacha, so game over, finish. Well, what's there more to add? No. Interesting story. Rav Papa once visited Rav Huna and he brought in this, he said this, he said, well, why do I need to know that? The answer is, we're here to know. That's called a Maisa Rav. So according to Marami Panu, again, this does not fit in with Rashi. This has nothing to do with Rav Papa being embarrassed, you have to cover it up, and again, I don't really know, to be honest, how this even fits in the words of the Gemara, but Marami Panu says that when he was claiming this halacha in the name of Rava, when it says, why do you have to claim in Rava? Torah says, he himself held that way as well. He also maintained that the halacha is not, as Rabbi Yochanan suggests, which is Labbe Shammai, but rather Labbe Silel. But he didn't want to take the achrayas to Paskin that way, albeit he definitely felt that was the correct thing. Why? Because he wanted to have a Maisa Rav. And that was his chassidus. His chassidus was, he was toila the gedula, that means he apportioned the greatness to his Rebbe. Don't worry, it's not just me, it's my great Rebbe, Rava, who actually took it upon his shoulders to argue with Rabbi Yochanan and said, halacha is like Hillel. I'm following that. But had I not seen that with my Rebbe, then I wouldn't have been Mekel. Very important Gemara. But either way, it doesn't really help us with Rashi. Rashi's mamusha, pelaotsum. To be fair, it's not Rashi. That's definitely the simple translation of the Gemara. Certainly, if you have this text. But he just erroneously claimed that Rava said something when in fact he never did, and the reason why he said it was just to involve and avoid embarrassment. Sounds very strange. Okay, let's move on. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbana. Heviu lifneim shemen v'yayin. We've spoken about shemen and hadas. And now we're dealing with shemen and yayin. Beishamai oimrim. Oichez ha-shemen b'yeminoi. You hold the shemen in the right hand. Ve'es ha-yayin b'smoiloi. And the yayin in the left. Mavorech al ha-shemen. Uvechoyza u'mavorech al ha-yayin. You first make a bracha over the shemen, following which the bracha over the yayin. Says the Gemara, that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Ha'imrim, no, the exact opposite. Oichez es ha-yayin b'yeminoi, ves ha-shemen b'smoiloi. You hold the wine in the right hand and the oil in the left. Mavorech al ha-yayin v'choyze u'mavorech al ha-shemen. V'tochus, we have a machloikes. Firstly, there clearly seems to be a discussion about which bracha comes first. Which hand you hold it in is just a result of that machloikes. The right is always more important than the left. So obviously, whichever is the first bracha, the first item over which you're going to make a bracha, that's what goes in your right hand. So now, Shammai will tell you that why did you make a bracha over the shemen first? So presumably, for the same reason that the Gemara said in the previous sugya, because it's a double hano. Not only is it reyach, but it's also sicha. So why do Beis Hillel nonetheless say that the yayin comes first? So the Rishonim explain that no, yayin has a different maila, i.e. that it's food and drink and it's consumed by the body. If you remember, earlier on in the Gemara, this is one of the last things we saw on Tuesday, the Gemara in fact says, minayin, how do you know you make a bracha on rech? The Gemara brought a whole pasuk. You remember we discussed on, was it Tuesday or Sunday, there's a very big chiddush. In Me'ila, Mare, Koil, Reach, it's not considered benefit from Hektish. And so too with Hilchas Brochas, you don't make a brocha on a pleasant sight, neither over a pleasant sound. And Reach you do. Seder? It's the Gemara brought a Pasuk. So the very fact that the Gemara needed to bring an extra Pasuk to include a brocha on Reach, what does that show me? That it's more of a Chiddush. In other words, it's less of a benefit than food which is literally consumed, or wine which is imbibed by the body. Therefore says Beis Hillel, it's true, I appreciate that Shemen has a particular maila. What is that? That there is a double hana. What is a double hana? It's sicha and reyach. But as far as I'm concerned, the maila of yayin outweighs that maila. Why does it outweigh that maila? Because it is absorbed by the body. If it's absorbed by the body, that's a super hana. Shemen, even with its reyach, and it's true, you are chayav a brocha, but that's a lesser hana. Proof of the point, we had to bring up extra posuk just to prove that you make a brocha at all.
The Rav said we don't make a brocha through hearing.
Right.
But by shofar,
that's different. That's on a mitzvah. It's not on the hana we get. We're discussing this whole sugya is birkas hanenin, brachas of hana. Now there's different types of hana. You can benefit from food, you can benefit from sight, from sound, from smell. Sight and sound, never a machayev, a bracha of hana. But they could be machayev a bracha other types of brachas, like if you see the yam, you do make a bracha. That's not Birkas Hanani. You're not making a bracha over the benefit. If you see the Beis HaMikdosh, you make a bracha. If you see a Beis HaKvaris, you make a bracha. If you see a Melech, if you see a Talmud Chochem. But all of those are not Birkas Hanenin, they're Birkas HaShvach. So to Shmir, if I hear, what? If I hear, like you said, a Shofar, I make a bracha, etc. Again, that's not Birkas Hanenin, that's a Birkas HaMitzvahs. But Hano has to be a solid Hano. What's the most solid Hano? Eating and drinking. In our Gemara, it's been taught to us that fragrance also is considered a hanor, albeit a lesser hanor.
It's only for the nefesh, but not for the guf.
It's only for the nefesh, not for the guf. That was the pots we brought, called the Shomot Halilka. Now, the Gemara finishes off this line. According to Hillel, you make a brach on a yain, and then you make a brach on a shemen. V'tochu b'roish hashamosh. And then, in order to remove the oil from his hands, he smears the oil on the waiter's head. Fancy being a waiter, Nachum? Why should that be? Why would it bother me? Why'd I have to rub it on the waiter's head? Why can't I leave the smell on my hands? So let's have a look. Says the Gemara, V'tochu b'roish hashamosh. V'im shamosh tamud chochem. What happens if the shamosh is a tamud chochem? Then tochu b'koisel. Then you should rub your hands on a wall. V'pnei she'gnai le'tamud chochem. It's considered a gnai. What does a gnai mean? It's a bizayin. It's unbecoming. Le'tamud chochem lotzis l'shuk k'shehu mevusam. Very important Gemara. It's unbecoming, it's not appropriate for a Talmud Chacham to enter the street with a smelling of perfume. Why he rubbed his hands in that in the first place, like we said. His hands are dirty, maybe have got a foul smell as a result of eating, but then to now walk around with this whole big waft is inappropriate. Says Rashi, Shemen v'yayin zehu yayin shalacha hamazayin ve'ein zeh koishal bracha. We're not talking about koishal bracha. This is the wine you're having at the end of the meal. Choyzu mavarech ala yayin kegoin b'choil she'ein hayayin keva. What's Rashi coming to answer? Rashi's coming to answer the obvious question, which is, why are you making a bracha for the wine in the first place? Didn't we say that the yayin shalafnei hamazayin says Rashi, yes, that was only on Shabbos. This is on weekday where there's no keva. Therefore, ve'ein hayayin shelefnei amozoin poitrei. Shemen biyaminoi, why does that go in the right hand? Lefi she'olov levorech tchila, because it is over it that you are making a bracha first. Levorech ala shemen boirei shemen orev. That's the bracha. V'tochu b'roish hashamosh k'day shelo yetze b'yodov mevusomois. So that you shouldn't go out with your hands which are perfumed. B'shuk in the street sh'gnai hu l'tamud chochem. By the way, I would add, I'm not sure if it's a question or a statement. It's very, very, very unclear. What is the heter for a woman to wear perfume in the street? Never mind a gnai for a Talmud Chacham. In the same way as we know, and that's Dvarim Mufurashim, that a woman has the halachas of tznius with regard to her clothing. Why? Because it shouldn't attract attention. So, just like we understand, she doesn't go in the street with clothes that are either very short or tight. Neither should it be clothes with a very, very attractive colour. Bright red clothing we know is inappropriate, so why should perfume be any different? If a woman wears very pungent perfume, what is the whole reason why she doesn't wear provocative clothing? Because that draws attention to her. So why should perfume be any different? Now, like I said, I'm not sure whether to phrase this as a question or as a statement, because I think it's fair to say that there are many, 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 many women who are extremely particular when it comes to halachas of tznius, and yet they do wear perfume. Now, let's not make a mistake. If a woman wears jewellery or wears makeup, she's not doing it to attract attention. But perfume definitely attracts attention. Because even if I'm not looking at the person, I might still smell the smell. There's no problem for a woman to look pretty. That's what the Gemara says. Ainli isha ela lo yaifi. That's what she's supposed to do. But wearing perfume is a highly controversial subject. And like I said, it's hard to say it as a statement that it is osa when we know rabim v'toivim v'shleimim are doing this, including noshim g'dolis. So the question is, what is the heter? Why indeed is it mutter? Who says it's mutter? Hard to say it's osa, like we said, if thousands of women are doing it, but what exactly is the heter? So one could say a distinction between perfume and clothes, etc., etc., but it's a very, very delicate subject. Very, very, very delicate subject. Al koponim, back to our sugya. Now, by the way, I apologize, we missed out a Tosfos, the second Tosfos. Hoch yomar rov ilchas gebei silal velo yishtamut nafshu de kovid kach kosuv besvarim shelonu. That's what's written in our svarim. This is the text that we have, and indeed it's a text that appears in our Gemara, uba pirish Rashi. So too in Rashi's commentary, avol rav alfas posak karova. The Rif says the halacha is like rova. Now one second. If Rav Papa just made this up to avoid embarrassment, but Rava never said it, so how on earth can the Rif paskin like Rava? Rava never said it at all. Elamai says the Toises mashma sheloi hoya geire specifroi. It must mean that he never had that girsa of veloi he etc. Our Gemara says that Rava said Alocha Kebeis Hillel, and then the Gemara says Veloihi, it's not true. That part where it says it's not true, the Rif obviously never had that girsa. That's what we saw before in the Vilna Gaon. The Rif ignored or erased or never had that girsa, because if it's not true that Rava ever said it, so how can you pass from that Rava? Elomai, how did the Rif learn the Gemara? The Rav Papa said, Rava said, Alocha Kebeis Hillel, says the Rif, fine. So therefore that's the way I pass it. Kalocha Kebeis Hillel. That's what we said before.
What's wrong with just holding by Rashi and just saying that, okay, you made a mistake?
No, I don't mind. When I was in school, there was a poster on the wall. Those who don't make mistakes normally don't make anything. But say there's nothing wrong. To err is human. But to then go and claim that Rava says Alocha that you never said just to avoid embarrassment, that's impossible. Can't be. I remember I was once sitting with my Rebbe, Rav Nosson Kopshitz, in the Beis Eira, and somebody walks in and says, you have a question to ask. Yeah, what's the question? Basically, I rented a car, and in the contract of rent, it says that I'm not allowed to sub-rent it to somebody else. Okay. So my question is it mutter to sub-rent it to somebody else? So Rav Nosson looked at him and says, okay, one tzad is midvash sheker tirchok. Yeah, what's the other tzad? Do I hold by a pasuk in the Torah or not? Is that your question? There's a famous story with the Rogatchov Goyin. The Rogatchov Goyin was a tremendous Boki B'chala Teira Kula, together with Ramea Simcha in Davinsk. Somebody once brought him a new sefer that he wrote. And he asked the Rogatchov Goyin to give him a letter of approbation, a hamlotza. And he didn't want to. And for whatever reason, he didn't want to, because he held that the sefer wasn't very good and wasn't really worthy of an approbation. But for whatever reason, he was forced into writing the Hamlotza. He had no choice. So you know what he did? Took out a letter. And he wrote at the top of the paper, I, the Rogatchov Goyin, whatever. Yeah, I've looked at his sefer, and it's a wonderful sefer, and it's really worthy of being read. And he left a huge gap. And then right at the bottom of the page, he signed it. So he asked him, why do you do that? He says, Pasuk in the Torah, Midva Sheker Tirchok. You have to distance yourself from Sheker. Al kol ponav oifen, it's totally not just absurd, it's unacceptable. L'choira. I don't know, Rashi does seem to say that. But it's impossible to suggest that one of the Amoraim, we have no idea, we have no hasoga, klaluk, we don't understand what the Chofetz Chaim was, Rav Nachum.
Yeah.
We don't know what the Chasam Sofer was like. We have no hasoga in a Marsha, we have no hasoga in a Rashba, we certainly have no hasoga who Rav Papa was. You know, sometimes somebody once asked, I was once sitting around the table with a family, and they did this round the table thing. Did this round the table thing. If you could choose to meet any Godel B'Yisrael now of all time, who would you choose to meet? So when it came to my turn, they all said, "Ah, yeah, obviously, yeah, you want to meet the Chasam Sofer, who's you know, a great Zayda." You know, I must be honest. I said, "I'm not sure. I'll be too scared. I'll be too scared." Yeah. Last week I went to one of the Siyumim Daf Hashas, Siyum Hashas Daf Hayomi. I saw Rav Chaim Kanevsky. I couldn't take my eyes off him. What did he say? Nothing. Doesn't speak. Doesn't speak in public. I don't know. Just to see a man, a Malach Aleikim who's spent his entire life learning Torah, knows Kol HaTorah Kula, as you can see from all his Sfarim. Even that's nervous. Even that was. But I was standing fast, so it wasn't so bad. Imagine some sofa would walk in here, that melt on the floor. I wouldn't know where to look, where to put myself. So, Rava and Amoira. We have no idea that the Gemara tells us about Amoraim with the Tchias Amesim. One of the Chasam Sofer's Talmidim was very, very deathly ill. Deathly ill. So they were standing around the bed, and the Chasam Sofer ordered everybody out the room. He ordered everybody out the room. One of the Talmidim hid. Hid in a cupboard. And all of a sudden, the Chasam Sofer is talking to this Talmid who's lying in the bed. And he says to him, "Can you see? Can you see?" He says, "Yeah, I can see." Second time, "Can you see? Can you see?" "Yes, I can see." A third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time. And all of a sudden, color returned to this Talmud's face, and he made a miraculous recovery. End of story. Turns out, and we only know about it because this. There was somebody hiding, and then he asked the Chayil himself, "What did you see?" He says, "What did you see?" The Chasam Sofer said, "Do you see?" He said, "The first time he asked me, do you see, I saw next to my bed an elderly man with a long white beard. It was Avram Avinu. Second time was Yitzhak Avinu. Third time was Yaakov Avinu. They were standing on one side of the bed. Then there was Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, and David HaMelech. And there was a whole debate," this Talmud says. "Does he need to die or can he stay alive? Machlokes. Machlokes of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, David, and Aaron. The seventh time Eliyahu HaNavi came, he appeared, he was the seventh one that he saw, and he was machriya that no, he can stay alive. Because he stayed alive." So what are you going to say? You want the Chasam Sofer to walk through the door now? I would hide, I'd run out, I think. I'd melt in front of his eyes. Couldn't know where to look, where to see, where to. Besides the fact, would you want a Godel B'Yisrael to look at you and he can read all your minds and thoughts and know everything you've ever thought or said? I think, I don't know, I can't talk on anybody else's, but I would be too scared. Wouldn't be pretty. We have no hasoga. We have no hasoga in these people. So to my Amoraim, can't be. And Amoraim made a mistake. So that could be, not beyond the realms of possibility. For him to say, so because to cover up my embarrassment, so therefore I'll just offer a blatant lie and say, yeah, well, Rava said that's talacha. Really? No, not really. Can't be. So the Rif didn't have that girsa. The Ramami panel said, Rava did say it, and he also held that way, and it was a Maisarav. But at the end of the day, Rashi had that Girsa. And not only did Rashi have that Girsa, Rashi explained absolutely clearly that he made a mistake, And he was embarrassed that he made that mistake, and that's why he claimed erroneously that Rava said halacha kabi salam. It's a pele otzum. How can that be? It's literally kipshute, literally unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's hard to believe. And that's why everybody's making such a fuss. So we've seen on the same page, we've seen Tosfos and the Vilna Gaon and the Rambam Hippano, everybody's getting hot and bothered because it's unacceptable to us that an Amora would just lie like that, even to save embarrassment. A very famous story with Reb Chaim Moshe Gudzinski. Reb Chaim Moshe Gudzinski was once talking to a young Talmud. I just read last week, this Talmud was Reb Pirnchas Hirschsprung from
Montreal.
You ever met him? You ever saw him? You did?
Many years ago.
Well, so you're not from Montreal though?
No, but Montreal's close enough.
Right. Reb Pirnchas Hirschsprung, I just read an article by him last week. Reb Pirnchas Hirschsprung, I'm not sure why it wasn't more famous. It was a Baki Bukhala Teira Kula. He literally knew Shas off by heart. I just read a whole article about him because somebody just went to interview a very close associate of him. Anyway, this Reb Pinchas Hirschsprung was in Europe before he moved to Canada. And he was once talking to Reb Chaim Moshe Gudzinski. And Reb Chaim Moshe mentioned, yeah, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra and Pei Zayin. And this young Bocha, Pinchas Hirschsprung, at the time, says, no, I think it's Bobasra Peiches. Because apparently it was a Baki Bashasti. And Chaim Moshe said, no, it's Peizayin. Chaim Moshe said, the great God Lado. And Pinchas Hirschsprung said, no, I think it's Peiches. I can get a Gemara to check. And Chaim Moshe said, no, you know, you're probably right. You're right. You don't need to get a Gemara. Fine, yeah, you're right. Probably Peiches. Fine. Afterwards, when Reb Chaim Moshe left, Reb Pinchas Hirschsprung looked, checked up in the Gemara, and it was Pei Zayin, like Reb Chaim Moshe said. And then all of a sudden, he realized not only Reb Chaim Moshe's goinus, that he knows Kol HaTorah Kula Baal Peh, but his goinus in Midas as well. Because had he said to him, yeah, what would we have done? We know what we would have done. Jolly well get a Gemara, and thank you, I was right. He would have been terribly embarrassed, arguing with the God Lado. So instead, Reb Chaim Moshe said to him to the opposite, oh, yeah, probably you're right, I made the mistake. That's a God will be Yisrael. That's a God will be Yisrael. Say, I made the mistake. But to say, I didn't make a mistake when he did, it's impossible. It's too impossible. Lo yachol liot. Ken doch nish zayin, Reb Nochem. Ken doch nish zayin. It can't be. Let's make a start to the next Gemara. Tana Rabbonon. Tana Rabbonon. Shisha Dvarim Gnai Loi Le Talmud Chacham. There are six things that are considered inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham. So we just mentioned one of them. That's why the Gemara is bringing this in. Al Yetze Kishuhu Mavusam L'Shuk. He shouldn't go out to the shuk, mavusim. So you have to note, it doesn't say that he shouldn't be mavusim. Haraya, we said before, he's allowed to put the shemen on his hands and make the bracha over the smell. But to walk out in a public way, imagine you went to a meeting of Olchei Choshev Rav and he's reeking of aftershave. I don't think it'd be very appropriate. Inappropriate. That's number one. Number two, by the way, obviously, none of these things are osa. How do I know it's not osa? Because you wouldn't say that it's a gnai la Talmud Chacham. You don't say it's a gnai for a Talmud Chacham to be mechalal Shabbos. You're not allowed to be mechalal Shabbos. It doesn't matter whether you're Talmud Chacham or not. So clearly we're talking about something which is essentially muta. For a Talmud Chacham, it's inappropriate. For a Talmud Chacham, it's inappropriate. Number two, Va'al Yetze Yechidi Balailo. We mentioned this early on in the Gemara. He shouldn't go alone in the street. Now, essentially, we saw then, and we'll see it later on, The reason why I shouldn't go out in the street is for some mysterious reasons of shadim, which is a little bit difficult to understand. So if there's shadim, then why is it only Talmud Chacham? Unless we're going to suggest, we have to see later on, maybe these shadim go out and attack Talmidei Chachamim especially. Number three. Neither should he go out with patched shoes. Why not?
Embarrassing.
It's inappropriate. Talmud Chacham is properly dressed.
Why doesn't it just say patched clothes?
I'm not sure.
My shoes.
I once had a kesher with a very big Talmud Chacham, and it was difficult to say that he kept this halacha. And it was very bothersome. The Gemara says the Talmud Chacham has one stain on his clothes, he's chayav misa. I remember I discussed it with Rav Kornfeld, because Rav Kornfeld knows his Talmud Chacham. And Rav Kornfeld says to me, I've had this kasha for many years. I know my own Rebbe, Shem Zalman Ullman, you once came and you saw him. He was immaculately dressed at all times. I never saw a speck of dust on his, he wore a long coat, a bent up hat, immaculately dressed, immaculately.
Maybe the other guy doesn't think he's a Talmud Chacham.
He's not a guy. Yeah, huge Talmud Chacham. No, he is. Talmud Chacham is no issa to know a person's Talmud Chacham. To the contrary, he has to know he's a Talmud Chacham. It's not like somebody else who behaved in a very, very strange way. So they said, you know, why is he behaving like this? Rosh, or something. No, he's one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. He's a very hidden tzaddik. Someone said, yeah, but he's so well hidden, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know. He's that well hidden. That can't be. Al Koponim, that's what the Gemara says. He shouldn't go out with patched shoes. Va'al yisaper im isha bashuk. He shouldn't talk to a woman in the shuk. Shouldn't converse with her. Why not? People inappropriate. Yeah. Again, clearly, it can't be something that's absolutely awesome because nothing to do with the Talmud Chacham. Va'al yesev b'chabura shel amei ha'aretz. And neither should he be sitting around with amei ha'aretz. Who's amei ha'aretz? Ignoramuses. Ignorant people. It's unbecoming for a Talmud Chacham for him to surround himself in such company. Va'al yikoneis b'achroina l'beis ha'medrash. Neither should he be the last one to come into the Beis HaMedrash. Not appropriate. Imagine you're in the middle of learning, say it, everyone's sitting learning, basmoda, and who walks in last? The Talmud Chacham. It's unbecoming. V'yesh Oimrim. Some say that there's an addition to this list. Af lo yafsia psia gasa. He also shouldn't walk with large steps, large strides. He'll walk in an idle way. You'd never see a Talmud Chacham take enormous strides. Finally, Va'al yahalech b'koima zakufa. He also shouldn't be walking with an erect posture. Very, very interesting. Ramosha Zelig, our friend, Ashley Lazarus. You know Ashley Lazarus? Ashley Lazarus, amongst other things, is involved in is in the filming industry, and he's working together with Reberl Wine. And he told me when they did, as it were, filming, they wrote a book, and then tried to do this type of cartoon pictures, film for kids, about the Rambam, and about Rashi, and about other Gedolei Yisrael. Now, obviously, we have no photography, or no pictures, or even paintings of these Rishonim. So how on earth were they going to draw a picture? So he told me a very interesting thing. He told me they did a lot of research in pictures of, say, of relatively more recent Gedolim to see what they look like, to see what their posture was like, and then to somehow sort of conjure up an image of the Rambam, even if we have no idea that's what he looked like, but at least that's what he could have looked like. And he told me that one of the things that he discovered in his research upon all the pictures and the maybe even filming of more contemporary Gedolim, is mamash this point. If you look at pictures of the Gedolim, you'll never see a picture of a God look like this. You know, head up. It's always a very, head down, very humble look. Look at the portraits of Gedolim. That's where they look, head down, modest. That's what this Gemara is saying. So later when they drew the picture of whatever, the Rambam, the Rashi, whoever it may be, so they conjured up, as it were, an image based on those types of things. Not to walk with an erect posture. It's unbecoming, again, for a Talmud Chacham at least. Those are the six things with these additional two. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, on Sunday we will continue. We'll get to the bottom of the Amud. Then we will do a quick Chazara, Be'ez Hashem, from where we left off last time, which is halfway down Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. And then Be'ez Hashem, we will start the last daf of this perek next week, Be'ez Hashem.